Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Bills Wire Bills Cast, presented to you by USA Today, SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, alongside, as always, my good friend, David. David, welcome back to the show. How are you, bud?
Thanks, Matt. Feeling pretty good at 6-2. How about yourself?
Yeah, I have to say the same. I mean, Buffalo fans, you got to be feeling good after this one. Most certainly so, as if unless you're living under a rock or you spent the day, eating chicken wings or getting blackout drunk, you would know that the Buffalo Bills finally got the big monkey off its back. And that's big monkey is the New England Patriots, as the Bills defeated them 24-21 to improve. And it's people expected it. People hoped for it. Patriots didn't go down quietly. That's for sure. And they still have to play again once more this season, but certainly a good feeling of optimism from this Bills team. I would have to imagine. David, what's your, initial reaction from all this? It's a lot to take in, but 6-2 is a great way to start off the first half of the season. What's your take on all this?
Sean McDermott, I think, I would just say kind of characterized it really well with sort of his last game. You know how he gives those really impassioned post-game speeches in the locker room? And he said something right at the end of the one that he gave today that really hit home with me and actually made me feel even better about the game. And it was, humble and hungry goes a long way. We're going to play them again, and we know we can play better than what we did today. And that, for me, it was like one of those things that like I needed to hear and I didn't know I needed to hear, but it felt great to hear that because that's how it felt. It was almost like somebody kind of put words to what I was feeling after the game.
Yeah.
I liked this game because it was good to see the offense kind of coming back to life and starting to sort of look more like what we'd grown accustomed to seeing the first four games of the season before we played Tennessee. They beat them 24-21. They improved to 6-2 overall. And there's some little kind of gems hidden in this win too that I think give it a lot of value. One is that they've gone 4-0 against divisional opponents now this season. For the first time since the 1991 season when Jim Kelly and the team went to the Super Bowl. It's also the first time that the team has beat the Patriots under Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. So it's great to see the team continuing to show progress and to take these steps forward.
No, it most certainly is. This is their first win against the Patriots in Buffalo since 2011, a very wild Ryan Fitzpatrick-led offense so long ago. I mean, the last time they beat the Patriots, they did beat them in 2016, 2017. It was a Jacoby Brissett-led team, much different than what we see now, but regardless, it's that franchise and the dark mark that they basically put on everybody in the AFC East. I mean, I don't think any team has struggled more against the Patriots historically, at least the last 20 years in the division, than the Buffalo Bills. It's honestly true. The Jets have given them a run for their money and have beaten them occasionally, including winning, an AFC East championship. Miami, New England, technically they struggle a lot when they go down to Miami, and Miami's also won the division in the absence of Tom Brady and has been competitive. But for Buffalo, I think before today, I don't quote me on the numbers exactly, but it was only like, they only had like 5 wins against a Bill Belichick led Patriots team, 5 wins in 35-6. It's gotta be an uneven number. It's like 35 or 36 losses to this Patriots team. So spiritually and emotionally, this was a pretty big deal. You know, I remember in years past where very, lesser, not as talented Buffalo Bills teams, this fan base, the Patriots game was Bills Mafia's Super Bowl. And it's honestly, I'm glad to see that this team has grown so much where that is not the case. Is it a proud accomplishment? Absolutely. That's what you want. Like you said, a hot 4-0 divisional start, 6-2 on the season, and you're competing well. You're competing as well as you possibly can. You're trending upwards after a couple bad weeks. And, you know, it is just good to see that this, the, you know, Bills versus Patriots isn't like the be all end all for a Buffalo Bills season. And I think that speaks a lot to the culture that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have really developed here in Buffalo.
I really like the reference to the Brissett game too. I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned it, but it's almost like we got a preview of what the Bills could look like against a Belichick team without a guy who's been with the team for, you know, at that time, almost 20 seasons under center, who's practically married to the system. You know, this is our first game against them without Tom Brady under center, if I'm not mistaken, since that Brissett game. And yes, we experienced the same outcome. And so this is really encouraging. You know, much like the defense, the run game appears to have finally arrived for Buffalo. We saw it start to get going last week, and it looked really good today. They were getting it done on the ground to the tune of 190 yards between Allen, Singletary, and Moss. And the latter two went for over 80 yards in the game. Moss added two touchdowns, the first time a Bills running back's done that since LeSean McCoy in 2018. Diggs added 92 yards on six catches in the passing game as well. So we're still winning that trade.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the ball, Jerry Hughes, Quentin Jefferson, both a sack apiece. The defense had five quarterback hits on Cam Newton. And ultimately, the defense saved the day again. Justin Zimmer caused a fumble to get a big defensive stop to end the game, just like Jerry Hughes did last week. We had John Feliciano back for the first time this season after a couple surgeries, and John Brown back with the offense. Each of them showed a couple of times how the Bills had missed them and the impact that they can have on a game. I was surprised, though, that they didn't really use Mitch Morse a lot. They hit him one time for 11 yards, just having a big target like that. But we did manage to snap a 7-game stretch of losses against New England. And so that is a good day in Bills Mafia when we're able to do that.
No, for sure. Did you mean Gabriel Davis? You said Mitch Morse.
You know what? I'm sorry. I meant Tyler Croft.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. You know what? I've had Mitch Morse on the brain because he went out with a concussion. And so I've just been thinking about that. And so I had him on my mind, I think, when I mentioned Tyler Croft. But yeah, unfortunately, Mitch Morse did go out with a concussion in this game. Injuries were the big news going into this matchup, too, for both teams. As well as Cam Newton's impassioned comments earlier in the week about the game being a must win because of the type of season that they have going on in New England. You know, Belichick also commented earlier in the week that the team's cap situation was the reason for their lack of depth. And that could be foretelling and impact our division, because if they look to sell with the trade deadline looming, it was very interesting that their two biggest trade chips and cap commitments of Stephon Gilmore and Julian Edelman were both listed as out right before the trade deadline. I'm not insinuating, it just is interesting.
I think if they
decide to be sellers at the deadline, those guys could see new homes. That could radically impact the next time we match up against them later this season.
No, for sure. I think Edelman's was a lot more serious than Gilmore's. I think Gilmore's was a knee tweak, and I can understand. You know, it could have made the Bills' time today a lot more difficult if Gilmore was out there. So, but yeah, I mean, this is nothing to take away from this win. The Patriots, yeah, they did have a lot of people not playing today based on injuries and whatnot. But I mean, I'm going to give them kudos. For a bunch of guys who I've never heard of as far as wide receivers, some defensive players, they played one heck of a game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a testament to, I guess, Bill Belichick's coaching and what he can get out of his guys. There were a few times, especially at the end, where I was like, oh boy, yeah, I've seen this before. And it finally went in the Bills' favor, most certainly. But there was a couple times where I was like, wow, I can't believe this Patriots team, this offense is one, moving the ball against this Bills defense, and two, slowing down Josh Allen and company. So they did a very good job, honestly. I mean, I looked through their injury report pregame, and not that they have many big name superstars left right now, but on the 2020 roster, but none of them were there except Cam Newton. Cam Newton was the biggest name out there on the field today as far as the Patriots go. So all of the McCourties too, but yeah. So big, a big testament and good for the Patriots in that regard, for being able to play a very tough competitive game. And yeah, they didn't just roll over. Honestly, aside from the Seahawks game, this is probably one of the better showings from this Patriots team. Most certainly so. And maybe that's a case of division rivals or what, but yeah, I'm certainly interested to see what this team looks like next time the Bills and Pats play.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, the Bills, they were without Cody Ford and Josh Norman, AJ Epenesa, Micah Hyde today, and Vernon Butler. So, who knows how different that might have looked, right? With those guys on the field. And hopefully we'll have everybody back and healthy the next time we square up against one another. Because I think anytime we go up against the Pats and Bill Belichick, you know, that's all I want, right? I'd love to see, you know, both teams healthy. I want to beat them, but I want to do it, you know, fair square best, where we feel good about it.
Yes.
And last time, by the way, the last time the Bills were favored by 3 points going into a matchup with Belichick's New England squad, Wade Phillips was our coach. Doug Flutie was the quarterback. And we were playing against Drew Bledsoe under center for New England. So that'll give you an idea of how long it's been. It feels very good to be in that position, Matt.
No, most that's a throwback. Oh my God. Oh, the Wade Phillips, Drew Bledsoe era. That was such a special time in Buffalo Bills history. Hey, we got the Patriots sloppy seconds at quarterback, and he's really good. And I love watching video like from that era. But I mean, that was a long time ago. I was 10 years old when that happened. I'm 29 now. All right, so a lot has changed, but changed for the better for Buffalo Bills fans and the Buffalo Bills organization. So that's most certainly a good thing. Most certainly a good thing. Statistically, it wasn't like the prettiest game for either team. It was a fun defensive chess match. Things did open up occasionally. You know, Josh Allen did not have his best like stat day, but he still moved the ball efficiently. You already mentioned how good the run game went today. You know, we almost had two running backs with 100 yards rushing, which I don't think it's ever happened for the Buffalo Bills, or at least if it has happened, it has been a long time since it has. This team played like a team, and it was, you said it best before we started recording, it was a gritty team win, but you certainly feel a little bit more optimistic about this win, than we did last week against the Jets. So.
Yeah, this felt a little bit more final score wise, to the Chiefs game, except us coming out on top. And, I felt good about that. The defense, obviously, we've had a couple games recently where they looked really good in the first quarter and then just struggled a little bit in the second quarter. So I'm trying not to read too deep into that happening again.
Right.
I know we had a lot of guys out. I know we had injuries. I'm trying not to look at that as a step back, because it's actually pretty much on par with what we saw prior to last week. Right.
Yeah.
So if anything, you know, last week was a good indicator that hopefully we're trending there in the right direction. We get these guys back healthy on the field ahead of these big matchups that we have coming up with some of the top teams in the league. We play a handful of them, you know, hopefully we'll be looking at a different defense, continuing to, just be consistent through the second half. But, it's hard to complain when they made the difference both of the last two games on the last plays.
Yeah, they most certainly showed up, and Zimmer, I think was his name. That punch out was like, that was a thing of beauty. That was certainly a thing of beauty. It's always been like these little one-off plays, I guess, that have really made the biggest difference. Right. Josh Norman a couple weeks ago, kind of rallying the defense together against the Raiders. Jerry Hughes with his fumble recovery last week. And then, this one, that's good. That's good. That's good stuff that you're having. Like there's always these definitive big plays that the Bills defense is coming up in big plays and avoiding points or a swing of momentum. Those are all big factors, and they all change. They change everything. If Zimmer doesn't punch that ball out, might not be as optimistic right now. We could be talking about a Patriots win or a tie. the result could be very, very different, but it's good to see that the Bills defense is coming up when it matters most. When things are close, they're coming through when it matters most. I know, you know, we've seen that how many times where the Bills defense will need a big stop and they just can't get it. Right. And it's always so costly. There's been so many, I can't name a specific one, but over the last 20 years, it's happened more often than not and cost the Bills postseason trips too. So it's just good to see that guys are keeping their composure, playing hard, they beat us before, they're gaining yards, but we're not like going to roll over and they go out and attack the way that they did. So big splash plays, big definitive splash plays that have made the difference for this defense. And it's good to see, you know, you couple that with a lot of the big offensive plays that, you know, some of the game winning drives that Josh Allen has put together this year. You know, it's a recipe for success, most certainly, as long as they continue to build and grow off of it.
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking about some of the matchups that they've had. I've noticed that even though they've had some games that they've gotten a good lead and won, you know, there have been a lot of situational games, right? They play to scale. They win or lose to scale. It's very tailored to the game they're playing. Like that, I mean, the way that they're building this team, I would not be shocked if a season or two from now, maybe two, if we see just that high octane, you know, offense and defense, because we'll have two more drafts under our belts. And we've seen the type of players that these guys can find, even in like the fifth round, who, like, you know, guys like Matt Milano, you know, who come out and are starters, you know, and difference makers on different sides of the ball. So even as is, even where they are, they do seem to be kind of playing situational games. And sometimes they've come out on top. There's been some other times they haven't. But if that's the case, that does kind of help take the edge off a little bit. But watching them play down the stretch, you could also see how, hey, if one thing goes wrong or if one thing goes the other way for the other team, you know, that does change the game. And you hear Allen talk about it often in his post-game remarks. McDermott references it as well. You can tell it's kind of a cultural thing, is, hey, let's not beat ourselves. Let's not put ourselves in that position to begin with.
Right.
So that's reassuring to me that they go back and, you know, kind of take a look at everything and say, hey, what can we do differently to not put ourselves in that position to begin with? How can we look back and recognize where we could have done better or improved or not made certain mistakes that put us in that position to begin with?
No, for sure. And this is all part of the climb back up, right? You know, Tennessee was definitely the low point of the season. This very young season, 8 weeks, and Tennessee was a rude awakening. We all know what, it, you know, it was bad. We came out here and we're just like, you know, we didn't know what to think, say. Optimism, of course, but there was something definitely off. But, you know, we've noticed this. It's been a small climb. And I think this is what good teams, you know, do. If you take a look at the Tennessee Titans of last year, they didn't start off very well. All right. They didn't start off very well. They had a couple bad losses, but they started slowly making this climb. They went on an incredible run. I think finished 9-7 and made it into the postseason. And obviously eventually the AFC championship game. Not to be that guy, but my Indianapolis Colts did that a couple years ago. Started off 1-5 in 2018, 9 or 10 game win streak, made it to the postseason, and they won a game. But I think for the Bills, you know, who are, they're expected to dominate at least this AFC East on paper, which they're playing, you know, obviously they're playing very well. I think that, you know, the slow climb, the baby steps, the things that we can take away from every game, it's always building off of what happened last game. Something happened last game. You know, the last couple of weeks we've been complimenting the defense, and that's, you know, it's all been reverberating from their much more impressive defensive stand against Kansas City. Wasn't perfect. There were some great moments, and it was enough to, you know, to build on, and it's been growing and growing ever since. And that's what good teams do. There's no way you could just be some elite team all year round. It happens very rarely. You know, yeah, sure, the 72 Dolphins were perfect, but they weren't like this great world-beating team all season long. All 17 games, the Super Bowl, they weren't this world-beating team. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to go in transition. It's like a roller coaster. You got to go up and down, up and down. If you're playing really good all the time and you get punched in the mouth, you're going to react very different. You know, you get, it's going to change some things. It's better that it happened when it did for this Buffalo Bills team than in the postseason, you know, which we haven't reached yet, but the slow climb is working. And I think McDermott and Bean have this team right where they want to be. Honestly, right where they want to be as far, you know, as we get into the back half of the season.
It's kind of a tale of two teams in this division, right? Miami's kind of emerging as the clear threat unless, you know, unless the inexperience of Tua ends up showing in the games that they have left on the schedule. They're a tough team. You know, they showed today that they can win games on defense.
Oh, yeah.
And that's huge. With the Patriots, they seem to kind of be – I'd stop short of saying they're at a crossroads. They're still under Bill Belichick. But at least for this season, you know, they kind of are facing the next – I mean, the game they have next against the Jets is probably going to be possibly the easiest game they have left on their schedule. I mean, I'm looking at it. They have a very similar run here left on their schedule that the Bills have on theirs.
Right.
And so they're going to be playing tough teams, at least a handful of which I'd have favored over New England based on how they've played this year. The Bills, on the other hand, are trending upwards. You know, they got that hot start and they've been trying to bounce back, you know, from a tough defeat at the hands of Tennessee, one at the hands of the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, which would have been a lot easier to stomach, you know, if we hadn't had that big loss against the Titans. But
yeah,
you know, it was a lot more palpable. It was a lot more, like, you know, fathomable. Like, okay, yeah, this was a close scoring game. The Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions. Okay, I could see this, right? Titans, it was almost just like off the rails from the get-go, and we just totally weren't in that game and it got away from us. And so I look at this and I look at this win and I'm hoping that this translates, like you said, into building back up. And we saw them kind of getting their footing back last week. And then they've started to take steps forward again in the direction that they need to this week. The defense, again, looking strong in the first half, finding their way a little bit and kind of getting a little loose in the second half, but fortunately coming through in the end. And then the running game, which that's been the question everybody's been asking as we've been trying to make our imprint on the passing game through our offense, is, hey, when are we going to get the running game going? I'm reading, you know, analysts trying to predict a move that every team should make prior to the trade deadline. And some have the bill, when they get to the topic of the Bills, say, hey, you know, maybe they should look at running back as a solution for the running game. Well, we have a couple really good running backs. And we also have a quarterback who not only can take the ball and run with it, but is very hard to tackle. So
yes.
You know, that's why he puts up those big yardage gains he does. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily where we need the most help. And I think they showed that today, which was really a good sign for them and a good sign for the offense moving forward.
It certainly was. And yeah, I mean, the trade deadline is this upcoming Tuesday. There are a few targets. There are certainly a few targets that I wouldn't mind the Bills making a run for, but they tend to keep there. I can understand why they don't go for midseason trades. Very rarely does a midseason trade kind of lead to, you know, just transforming a team entirely. But I feel like a couple, you know, while we're on the topic of, we might as well run with it. There's a couple defensive line players. If I was the Bills, I'd be looking at some defensive front. Maybe some depth for linebacker, maybe just some guys to rotate in and out at defensive line. Just experienced veteran guys that, you know, the Bills are certainly missing out with no Star Latulele. So, you know, there's definitely some people. I know, was it Geno Atkins in Cincinnati? I get it. He's a little bit older, but he's an experienced guy. He's still talented. He's not getting any reps. That might be somebody. I think the Bills should look into exploring. Here's one I completely, you know, maybe big splash. Why not the Bills make a run at JJ Watt? I mean, these are big name guys, and there's lesser name guys who are just as talented, if not talented more than some of these big names, but J.J. Watt would be a splash move. I know he's the heart and soul of this Texans team, but I don't know. He's been pretty quiet. Maybe a fresh change of scenery. Maybe a guy who only has to play, 35, 45 snaps, percent of the snaps is going to make a big difference. I really think that the Bills should, look towards something, building something like that as this trade deadline looms.
I had heard since he's asking price for Atkins and then some of the other guys that they had with Steve. I don't know if there's truth to that, but if it isn't, yeah. I mean, either way, you figure you got to make a call maybe if that's where they're looking to bolster. Watt's interesting. I'll tell you what. We talked about it before the podcast. I think either way the Texans got to look to move him while he has the trade value that he does and make up some of the stuff that they lost under Bill O'Brien. But yeah, it is an interesting topic, and it will be really curious to see if Bean does make any moves. I do have faith in his abilities, though, as a shrewd manager and somebody that knows how to navigate stuff like that, where, I guess what I mean to say is he's very good at taking on, kind of low risk, high reward stuff.
Right.
he tends to make kind of like, good moves that don't overcommit us, that don't get us in any trouble with the cap, moves that make us better. And so, maybe if there's a veteran out there, somebody that makes sense for us on an expiring contract as a rental for the rest of the season, that we could add to the linebacker core. Because I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, I've been saying for years when people have asked me, what do you want in the first round of the draft? I said either a big stud wide receiver or a big stud, linebacker, pass rusher, an Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack type, which, by the way, when Mack's contract, how long is that contract? Do you know, Matt?
I'm not sure. I want to say it got restructured a couple years prior. It might have been like a 5-year restructuring with the Bears. So this would be year 3. Which, I mean, that would be so cool if he can come back home to Buffalo. I agree with like that. You kind of picked him out.
University
there.
Of Buffalo. Yeah. Right. U of B product. I mean, by the time his contract expires with the Bears, they may or may not be a preferable destination for him to re-sign with. They might, be looking to move on at that position. We'd probably get him for a lot less. Just a guy to think about. I mean, he clearly has love for Buffalo. And by that time, we're going to be the type of team that you would imagine he would want to join and would come at a low cost. And, anyways, that's what I'd love to see, though. I've seen draft analysts predict that we'll take a pass rusher, a linebacker in the first round. And I would love that. I mean, I think that would be great to see in next year's draft. I do trust their draft process and that we will get, the right person at the right position that can be a difference maker. If that projection is accurate, I'll be a very happy camper because that is kind of been the position that has come up as far as depth, like you said, is linebacker. So it'll be interesting to see if in the short term, is there anybody that they can add down the stretch, for the rest of the season that helps make us better, helps fill some of those holes that we've experienced, be it by stars opt out or by some of the other, struggles that we've had in certain areas or depth in certain areas.
No, I take a look at the rest of the NFL, the way that the rest of the NFL has been kind of going, right? Baltimore has been making, moves, big trades to try and keep their team fresh and, keep, I guess, adding to this. They're already tough squad. Kansas City is adding pieces. I look over on the NFC side of things, Seattle, some pieces happening and moving. And I don't know. Maybe it's Bean has this like a sense of loyalty to the players that he put in front of him, going into the season. Maybe that's it. I'm not sure. Just because the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Seahawks made these moves doesn't mean that they're instant Super Bowl contenders. But I do like their envisioning of keeping things fresh and, showing, we talk about this blue collar attitude all the time. Hey, if you're bringing a guy, an outsider who's with another team for the first 8 weeks of the season, and you kind of show these guys, hey, we're glad you're on this team, but your position still isn't safe. You still got to work for it. This isn't like this, you know, it's not a handout, you know. I think this Bills team is going to benefit from it, honestly. I really think it would, and strengthen it up. I just think so. I don't like teams playing coy, and there's been a lot of years, like it's taken a long time for the Bills to get to this point right now where they're trading for big name players, like acquiring Stephon Diggs this past off season, amongst many others. It's taken them a long time to get to that point. And I don't think it should stop. I really don't think it should stop right now in the middle of the season. There's obvious holes, and there's ways that they can be corrected. And being smart, I don't think he's gonna risk everything to make a midseason trade. There's no doubt about that. He's got to be very smart about it. But I think the Bills should be in pursuit, or at least just trying to do something to tighten this team up and making it a little bit more competitive than it already is. I'm not sure. I'm not a coach. I'm not a general manager of the NFL, and maybe it's a psychology thing where, if they bring in a guy, maybe it's like shows distrust of the players. I'm not sure. But it could work both ways. It could be both a positive and negative reinforcement, depending on the way that everything is handled. But I still think the Bills should continue to be aggressive. I don't know, if this team, as well as they've been playing, I don't really know. I think they've almost slipped a little bit out of the Super Bowl picture, definitely in the playoff picture. AFC championship contender. I don't know if they're Super Bowl ready, though. And that's just me.
Yeah, that is kind of hard to project the way that the last few games have gone, especially before this one. And you look at the team, and patience is required. I mean, it's easy to get so excited because we've seen them take a big step forward, right?
Yeah.
We got back in the playoffs with that Cincinnati win. And the next year, we got back in the playoffs on our own, kind of merit. And this year, we're not just fighting to squeak into the playoffs. We're fighting to contend in the playoffs.
Correct.
And that's huge. I mean, those are big steps forward. And it's easy, I think, to forget that or just in the excitement of what we're seeing right now. It just helps me, I think, to keep kind of a balanced assessment, to keep those things in mind and just to continue to where they take these steps forward. Those little records they keep, setting, tying, breaking from 91. Things like that, stuff that it's easy to overlook, but it's there. It shows the progress they're making. This is a team that can challenge in the playoffs, whether or not they're a Super Bowl contender. We're going to find that out, here in these next five games or so, what kind of team they are as far as where they match up. And I know that Coach McDermott said something about that loss to the Chiefs. He said, we want to be in these games.
Yeah.
These are the teams we want to match up with. And so they're going to get their chance. They're going to have a really good chance with the Seahawks coming up, the Steelers, some of these teams that they're going to be playing. We're going to get a good look at that.
No, most certainly. Yeah. There are a lot of, challenging teams up, on the remainder of the schedule. Yes, we do have they do have Seattle next week. You do have Pittsburgh, who is currently, 7-0 and just handled very well. Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team is a very dynamic style of play, both offensively and defensively. You get Miami, who's getting hot right now. They're playing very, very well. It wasn't an offensive thing. You already mentioned, how well their defense played, and you can't count them out. They led the Bills for a few minutes of possession for quite some time. I think most of the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously, you can't discredit this Pats team. There's San Francisco, which the Bills still have to play yet. The Chargers, who are playing exceptionally well despite some mistakes. They have a young rookie quarterback in Justin Herbert who's playing out of his mind right now, and things have to gradually increase and get better for this Bills team. But certainly I think that the easy part of the schedule, and it's so hard saying it's weird saying easy, but the lighter part of the schedule, Now it's just like it's all going uphill, right? There's tough teams left and right. You're not going to play the Jets anymore. The Jets are out. They're done. You beat them in the first half. Now you're going to play teams that are going to push your team to the limit. And, you know, that gradual climb is going to be much, much more necessary. We're going to see how the Bills can handle that adversity that they will face with some of these teams.
Dolphins also facing a very similar schedule to the Patriots down the stretch, albeit maybe with one or two less dominant teams. You know, they look good today against the Rams, although, again, you know, that was thanks predominantly to their defense.
Yeah.
And that score didn't end up, you know, being relative in terms of closeness. I wouldn't call it close, but it was within range. It was 17-28. They played the Cardinals next week, then the Chargers. They get, you know, I don't want to call them easier games, but the Broncos and Jets after that, another hot team in the Bengals. But then they square off against Kansas City and then New England and then the Raiders, and then we get them last. So looking at that, I mean, yeah, they're going to be a competitive team. With a rookie quarterback under center, though, it'll be real interesting to see how those teams defend the Dolphins and attack their defense. I like that we're getting that team at the end of the season when we've had all season to kind of pick apart, you know, how to go at them on both sides of the ball.
Right.
You know, at least as far as competing for the divisional crown goes, that gives me some optimism heading into that. Yeah, a couple, you know, a few really good teams with really good coaches in Kansas City, New England, and Oakland, you know, or I'm sorry, Las Vegas. I still gotta get used to that. I'm still learning to say that. I'm really close with some Raiders fans, so I hope they'll forgive me. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, like I said, good coaches, good systems. You know, Patriots record might not show it right now, but as long as Bill Belichick's at the helm, you know. So if anything, I love getting them after they've played New England, because then we'll get a really good look at how Belichick attacked them.
No, most certainly so. Most certainly so. Man, a lot of good talking points today. You know, I love it. I love going back and forth. There's so much, there is so much to discuss with the Buffalo Bills and kind of what's going on in this wild ride of a 2020 season we're having. Real quick, because we're doing pretty good on time. We're going to take a look back at this Patriots game. We're going to kind of break it down for you and discuss, you know, what went right, what went wrong. And we've kind of summarized it a little bit, but I feel like going, you know, drive by drive is always like a good way to really recap it. So, all right, everybody. So Patriots started off with the ball on this game, and you were starting to see a little bit of, okay, Cam can throw it a little bit. Cam can sling it a little bit. They're running. They're trying some stuff. Didn't all work out too well. 28 yards on 7 plays, and they end up punting the ball away. Bills get the ball back, and it was a pretty quick start for them. I mean, 78 yards, 10 plays, and a touchdown for them, which, you know, that really sets the pace. That really sets the tone for how the rest of the game, it should have gone. It should have gone. They marched down the field. 78 yards against a Patriots defense that is depleted just a Patriots defense that's well coached, excuse me, as they are, is pretty good. It's pretty good. You get a little bit of Devin Singletary. You get a little bit of Zach Moss, who gets the touchdown here. A little bit of Cole Beasley. And yeah, it was just a great first drive for this Buffalo Bills team to really establish their identity. Who did? They rushed quite a bit on this drive.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it earlier in the podcast, Matt. Buffalo's defense had really improved showing last week. They stopped this opening drive by New England and got the ball and drove downfield and scored on that eight-yard rush from Zach Moss, who's having a good year for a rookie. It's kind of sort of been you know, I think not big enough numbers wise yet to notice, but he has scored a little bit. You know, yeah, the running game's gotten going, so I think we haven't seen like full blown Zach Moss yet. But
right.
We started to see today the potential of what he could do throughout the game: long runs, first downs. You know, the Patriots have 0 offensive points on the year in the first quarter, And that trend continued today, thanks to the Bills defense. And on that first offensive drive, the running game for the Bills, the running game did stand out the most to me. I mean, 7 out of their 10 plays on the drive involved the run. And I'm sure, like many people among the Bills faithful, I was very, very excited to see that, to see things running on all cylinders in the run game for the Bills. That was a welcome sight.
Most certainly. Yeah, this is that, I think, breakout game for the, not only for the run game, but I think this was like Zach Moss's like arrival party, in my personal opinion. You know, he's been out, he's been banged up a couple games, he hasn't been super productive. And that's not anything, it's not anything against him. It's just that's the way that the Bills team has gone. I think they rank pretty low statistically as a rushing offense, but this was a great showing. I mean, 2 touchdowns for Moss and 80 plus yards is a good day. And that's the kind of stuff that you could build off of, as we've been talking about throughout this entire episode. On the next drive, Patriots get the ball back 16 yards on 6 plays and punt it away. Bills get the ball back 18 yards off 4 plays and they punt the ball away. Second quarter starts off, the Patriots go 49 yards on 8 plays and cap it off with a Nick Folk 43-yard field goal to make the score 3-7. So Patriots on the board, and they're keeping things interesting. They had a good showing here. Jacoby Myers, who I'm not super familiar with. I've heard his name before, but I'm sure he's gotten plenty of playing time, but he's certainly not somebody you would pick up in a fantasy football draft or off waivers. He's not one of those type of guys. And Cam looked to him quite a bit today. Understandably so. No Julian Edelman, the tight end, Asiasi. He's not having a spectacular year, but he didn't show up. And Keel Harry, who's been pretty relatively productive, he was out today too. So Patriots getting a good look from Jacoby Myers here. Bills get the ball back. They go 7 yards on 5 plays, punted away. Patriots get the ball. 6 yards on 3 plays. Bills throw an interception. A little surprising here. They're moving. And then Josh Allen gets picked off by Jackson at the New England 26, which is it's always so unfortunate. I didn't get to see the actual interception, so I'm not sure the circumstances around it. I'm not sure if it was a bad throw on Josh Allen's part, if it was a bobbled pass. I'm not sure. David, if you would. Maybe can enlighten me on that.
Yeah, sure. After forcing the Patriots to punt, they got that good drive going, and they looked poised in New England territory to score again when Allen threw that pick on 3rd and 8 to J.C. Jackson, and Diggs indicated on the sideline after the play, if you watched his body language, he was owning it. It looked like just a miscommunication on the route, and Diggs was kind of, doing the pat in his chest thing that we used to see Donovan McNabb do on occasion when he quarterbacked the Eagles, is, hey, if he overthrew or made an air pass, he'd kind of do that, my bad, hand pat thing. So it kind of looked like there was just some miscommunication on the route. Diggs indicated that it was his, not Josh's. And I think that that's encouraging if you're looking for a silver lining. And you and I have talked about this in recent weeks. You want an honest read and an honest assessment of your quarterback, whether or not the mistake is one that they're making or whether or not it's a mistake or something that happens after the ball has left their hands, that's out of their control, like a tip ball or something like that, or drop pass. Yeah. And I think in this case, this was one of those examples, is that if you watch it on tape, it looks bad because he throws it right to J.C. Jackson. It's almost like he was targeting J.C. Jackson. So at first glance, it was a little like you kind of cringe. You're like, oh, because it looks like you threw it right to him. But then after the play, you realize, oh, okay, maybe Diggs was supposed to cut, on the route or something, and he didn't. And so it sounds like Allen threw the ball right where he was supposed to, but Diggs just wasn't there. And so at least there was that. That was something that was at least a little bit redemptive in that play. And they did look good on both sides of the ball in that second quarter, up until that point. I thought the defense did well in stopping Cam Newton in the backfield on those earlier, on the earlier drive you mentioned.
Yeah.
And keeping him, you know, from taking off with the ball. He looked a little frustrated, you know, with his passing options limited in the game. He kind of found himself stuck between a rock and a hard place when he couldn't take off the way that he wanted to, but also couldn't really throw it to anybody. So that was kind of nice. I wish we'd seen a little more of that in the second half, but like we said earlier, hey, we sure did right at the end. So thank God.
When it counted.
Yeah. And then, you know, the offense up until that point, hey, they looked really good. So.
Yeah. It happens. It's how you overcome these mistakes that really defines who you are as a team and a player. And they certainly, they did not let that happen again. The Patriots, though, they took advantage of this. They went 34 yards in 7 plays and nailed a 33-yard field goal on the foot of Nick Folk. To bring the score 6-7 before halftime, and they go in. Bills come out strong in the second half. Third quarter, 75 yards, 5 plays, first drive of that second half, and another Zach Moss touchdown here. 4 yards running to the right and brings the score to 14-6, which was a that's a good way to kick off. I mean, both their first drives of each half, you know, resulted in a touchdown, which is a significant sign. You know, you're getting, again, the mix of Devin Singletary, who has his own respective talents, Zach Moss, who has his own respective talents. You're mixing it up and you're keeping the offense fresh. It was a good showing for Daboll on this drive. I was very proud of the way they moved the ball. You know, Devin Singletary rips off a big 18-yard run. Josh Allen hitting Stephon Diggs for 41 yards. And you know, that's the kind of drives that you want to have all the time. So good kudos to the Bills for this one. This is a very important way to start off the second half as it pulled them to a 14-6 lead on this. Do you have anything you want to add for that specific drive?
Oh, absolutely. I loved what I saw from the Bills on the offense to start the second half. You remember right at the end of the second quarter when the defense held New England to a field goal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that kept us in the lead. You know, I was happy to see them keep them from scoring because it, you know, would have been different coming out of the half. But at that point during halftime, you know, I'm starting to wonder what type of game is this going to be, right? Because we've seen this before. We've seen what it can look like when the Bills come out in the second half and struggle to put their foot on the gas and kind of take off with the game. So I'm wondering, hey, will we get an ugly win or score on kicks like we did last week? Will the game be close? Because that gives New England a chance, right?
Yeah.
I'm counting on the Bills defense, or hoping at the very least, to continue to play the way they did in the first half. And I'm asking myself a question. Will the Bills offense do something they struggled to do all season? Come out, take lead, win the game convincingly, right? Like, that's the thing we're all waiting for, I think, yeah, in some capacity or another. So when they went back out and charged down the field, and Allen hit Diggs for that big pass like that. He turned into, I mean, it was a short pass, but he turned it into a big game. He almost, I mean, if he hadn't gotten caught up there in the last 10 yards, he would have ran that into the end zone, except somebody finally brought him down. And then this is what I love. This is what lights me up and just made me so happy about that drive. When Allen passes the ball to Moss out of the shotgun on the scoring play, Moss runs into traffic and appears to be stuck behind defenders. And then John Feliciano, in his first game back with the Bills this season, after a couple of surgeries, literally grabs him, and behind him, Winters, who was questionable to even play, gets behind and they just help pull and push the rookie into the end zone for his second touchdown of the day. Like, talk about a team effort. I love this effort by the Bills on the drive. And it was great to see the impact of having Feliciano back after he had been out.
No, I mean, yeah, that's huge. That's huge. Cause this offensive line hasn't been like perfect. You know, we've always wanted more from this offensive line. And I think that was a great moment of solidarity and, you know, amongst this offensive unit and a good showing. I mean, a great comeback for Feliciano, but a good showing for this offensive line, who's, you know, it's left a lot to be desired, but that was very, very, that was, I mean, that was great. That was most certainly great. And obviously the Bills needed the touchdown to kind of hang, you know, to extend the lead and obviously eventually to keep up. So, you know, big push. I love it. I love seeing the big guys roll like that. All right. Patriots get the ball back, 32 yards and 8 plays, punted away. Bills, 4 yards on 3 plays. Big defensive showing here for the Patriots. Bills punted away. The Pats, 47 yards off 5 plays. With a, is it Damian Harris? Yes, Damian Harris. He had a 22-yard touchdown rush, and they capped it off with a 2-point conversion here. I was a little surprised. A little surprised by it. It was a little ballsy. I was like, oh, you know, Bill, just thinking, just take the field goal, play it safe. But it worked, and it tied the game up at 14, which was pretty, pretty impressive. So kudos to the Pats on that one.
You know, I know we're probably going to talk about this a little bit more after discussing the gameplay. New England scores their first offensive touchdown in a few weeks and completes the 2-point conversion to tie the score. The topic that I'm sure we'll circle back to here is Cam Newton. You know, this is the most efficient execution I think I've seen by them in a while, at least with him under center, you know. And they did exactly that. They executed on that particular drive. It was almost not completely. I mean, the Bills looked like they could have stopped some of those running plays, but once they got close like that, it was just very sharp and they got the job done. To their credit, I tip my hat to them. But before the Patriots scoring drive, the Bills defense thus far had been playing the way that we needed them to. They were good all the way up until, you know, the Pats offense came alive on that drive. We've seen Cam Newton's struggles on offense, particularly in the passing game this season. So while he was vocally and visibly motivated and feeling a sense of urgency this week, you know, if Buffalo could stay consistent against him and against the offense the way we had up seen up until that point, it would put us in the best position to finish the end of the day with a win despite this touchdown. And it was really just kind of a tail of the tape the rest of the way that, you know, they were able to kind of keep some of that momentum going. But I do think it's important to point that out, that, hey, that wasn't, you know, anything that with consistency that the Bills defense couldn't have handled moving forward.
No, for sure. For sure. And I mean, they answered back very good too. They've answered very good here too. So Pat score 14-14 and the Bills drive 50 yards downfield, off 9 plays, with Josh Allen rushing it in for a touchdown to bring the score 21-14. A little bit from Devin Singletary here. They're using him quite a bit. They use him with the first three plays of the drive, 17-yard run, a 5-yard run, 9-yard run, and then a 17-yard run. And they use some Zach Moss, who gets some pretty good looks here. He gets a 2-yard run, 12-yard run, and a 3-yard run. And yeah, I think they ultimately made the most of it here. Yeah, Josh Allen up the middle for 2-yard touchdown, which it still scares me sometimes. Up the middle runs, especially for a quarterback, is always scary. But Josh Allen seems to find a way to be as elusive as ever, just running up the gut. It's always. I just worry. I know that the league is going into a direction of a more mobile quarterback and a more, you know, quick to turn on the Jets and run. Not the New York Jets, but their own personal Jets. and just go and run. But it always still concerns me. It always still worries me. It's going to be a little while before I get comfortable with that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. New England scores that touchdown, right? Before Allen rushes for one. So they kind of try to go, almost like pull a New Orleans. If you remember when New Orleans won the Super Bowl, you remember when they came out and did an onside kick just because the other team wasn't expecting it, and they recovered it and got the ball back. And you know, they came out after their touchdown, and I don't know if this was like Bill Belichick just trying to be cute or what, but kind of a head scratcher. They kicked this 12-yard blooper on an attempt at an onside kick. And by the way, I just love the desperation here. God bless the New England Patriots for being that desperate against the Buffalo Bills. Oh, how wonderful. But that was something, man. You know, I don't think anybody expected that except for one man. And that was Tyler Matakevich. I'm probably butchering his name, but he made that big heads up play, falling on and grabbing the ball and securing it,
yeah.
giving us stellar field position at the New England 45. And he ended up keeping 7 potential points off the board for New England if they got the ball back, right?
Certainly, yeah. Is,
or 8, I mean, if they go for 2. And then also, the Bills scored. It gave us prime field position. You know, we got back down the field. We did have a penalty on that drive on a false start. So, you know, I'm still keeping an eye on these penalties. It's a lot better, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
Way better than in recent weeks, but still noticing them. But, you know, we convert on a fresh set of downs in the red zone. And then after a failed scramble by Allen and a quick run by Moss, Allen takes the ball in, and, you know, he's a big boy and hard to take down. And we go up 21-14 with just over 13 minutes left in the fourth. That makes a total of 20 touchdowns for Allen down the season passing running, which is the most in team history. He broke another record today in the first 8 games of the season. And, of course, as seems to be like a weekly event now, it was a record held from the 1991 season by Jim Kelly, in which he had 19 in the first 8 games. So again, there's like these little cool steps forward that are encouraging and kind of at times hidden in plain view in our games that have been a real positive and affirming thing, you know, for the Bills this season.
Well, certainly so. And I mean, yeah, it is a good thing when your own personal milestones are being compared to that of those great 90s teams. It's huge. I mean, has the game changed drastically since the 90s? Most certainly so. But it's a good trend upwards that, you know, that this team is any, you know, has any inkling or likeness of those 90s Bills teams that made a lot of people from this area the diehard fans that they are today. So it's always a good sign. All right, here we go. Fourth quarter time. Probably one of the best drives for the Patriots here. 72 yards off 7 plays. And Cam Newton, Super Cam, runs it in for a 2-yard touchdown rush and makes the score 21, helps make the score 21-21, tying it all up back to where we started at. Everybody's tied, which was a, you know, and a lot of clock killing here too. The clock is certainly winding down. Long drives. And I think I'm going to give, you know, again, some more credit. When you're playing against a quarterback as good as Josh Allen, that's what you kind of want to do, is do whatever you can to run the clock and keep these guys off the field, right? You don't want Josh Allen to get back on the field the same way that you don't want Patrick Mahomes to get back on the field. You strangle the clock. You make them have to, like, feel like they have to hurry up and rush, and it usually causes them to make mistakes. And I think Belichick knew that, and that's why their game plan was so pretty run heavy today, at least on the Patriots side of things. The Bills get the ball back 63 yards off 10 plays, and they iron it off with a 28-yard field goal from Tyler Bass, who, I mean, we've seen the weather. Everybody's seen the weather today who's watching it via their television sets. It was not pretty out there. So big kudos to Tyler Bass, who was last week's big hero. 24-21 for the Bills. And then here we go. 3 minutes left in the game, probably something like that, a little bit more. The Pats, 65 yards off 12 plays, and the big fumble. They were going. They were inside the red zone, I think, within the – oh, man, first and 10 at the Buffalo 19, and honestly, can't where the ball got popped out at, was at the Buffalo 14.
13-yard line.
13-yard line, excuse me. Yep. And, yeah, Zimmer pops it out. At right as Cam probably could have got another couple yards out of it. Zimmer punches it out, and it was the look on Cam's face when he got up said everything. Yeah. That face was the epitome of the 2020 New England Patriots season, and they could so close they could taste it. I mean, Cam would have been a hero. Everybody would have been singing his praises again for him leading this peculiar offense, you know, to win against the Bills, and the Bills did not let it happen. Huge, huge stop. Dean Marlowe actually ended up recovering it, and the Bills just ran the clock out. So, yeah, if you got any comments for that?
I'm sure you do. Oh, do I? Man, I mean, they're threatening, right? They're in Bills territory, and then it happens. Cam takes off with the ball, right? It's the thing he wasn't able to do that much last season before the injury. And yeah. The thing that was kind of killing him, he was trying to pass in a North Turner offense, and it just wasn't working. And which was weird because it looked like it wasn't that bad the year before, but it just kind of seemed like the wheels fell off of him. And I like Cam Newton. He's been very good since college. You know, maybe some maturity stuff off the field, you know, maybe getting in the right situation like this one with New England can help, you know, challenge him in those other areas to grow and develop, or even just to commit at a new level to the game. But he does love to run with the ball when he can. Yeah. And, you know, I'm happy for him that he got back in the league, but I'm also happy to beat him. And this was just such a signature ending, I felt like. You know, you have Cam Newton, who's known for his ability to do that with his legs, taking off with the ball and very close. I mean, they're within 20 yards of the end zone, and that's when it happens. Justin Zimmer just catches him at the 14-yard line and fumble, and Dean Marlowe falls on the ball to recover it at the 13. And that is game, my friend.
Yeah.
Allen takes a knee to run out the clock, giving Buffalo the victory. You know, just kind of looking back on that quarter, the Patriots' run game really picked up and got going on those last couple offensive drives. They kind of played a similar game that we were playing against them. They just really got their running backs moving. Cam, you know, he started breaking free and running with the ball a little bit more than what we saw in the first half. And the Bills D was having trouble stopping them, including in red zone territory. Like, they kind of looked unstoppable up until that point.
They did,
both of those offensive drives.
Some of the sweeps, too. And they were going on the outside.
That's going to be something.
No, they were going on the outside. There's a lot of sweeps and stuff like that, which is usually if, when the Bills try it, it usually doesn't work out like that. I've seen that many times. These just bad sweep plays at the outside, but the Patriots just, it was just working for them. Something was clicking on that drive until obviously the big fumble.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of, you can read it two ways, right? On one side, we want the Bills defense to be the type that can continue to get stops. And that expectation, that hope, that goal is not going to change. On the other hand, it is the great Bill Belichick who picks defenses apart at halftime and figures out how the heck to come back and compete against them and start getting going in the second half. So I'm trying to take this with a grain of salt. That's what I'm trying to say, is that yes, the Bills defense needs to be better. Yes, the Bills defense needs to be better in the second half, needs to get those stops, you know. At the same time, this was against somebody who knows how to pick apart and gash defenses. And that's exactly what that team came out and did on those last couple drives. So one other note on that, that Bills offensive possession after Cam scored.
Yeah,
John Brown made his only catch of the day and still showed just how much the offense missed him when he was out.
Yeah.
He caught a short pass and turned it into a 21-yard gain on 2nd and 9, which would end up being the third most yards by a receiver in this game for the Bills on one catch. You know, that really says something about the difference that guy makes. I think we saw that big time while he was out, how that offense struggled, you know, to adjust to not having him in the mix. That Gabe Davis, oh man, that one was tough. So right before the Tyler Bass field goal, you know, Allen targeted Gabe Davis in the end zone. Good pass, catchable pass. It was just dropped by Davis. And, you know, he only had 2 targets today and he missed his chance there. He's a guy with big play potential that we really are fortunate to have, that we were able to grab in the draft. And those points would have given Buffalo a bigger lead down the stretch too. So the way the Patriots offense played up until that point, you know, I would have felt better with a touchdown there. We all kind of, you know, collectively held our breath on the ensuing Patriots drive.
Oh, yeah.
When Tremaine Edmonds went down, we all kind of were like, oh, you know, is he okay? Kind of like we did with Diggs last week. Fortunately, he was. He returned. I also noticed the Patriots targeting Taron Jackson and the returning Levi Wallace. That's been something teams have been doing, is going after those guys, you know, throwing to people that they're covering. There has been a little bit of chatter about what if or what the Bills are going to do as far as depth at the cornerback position this season, or if they'll just wait and address it, you know, after this year as far as depth. But I do think it's worth pointing out, especially as we're getting ready to face these really good teams, that teams do continually pick on Taron Jackson. They intentionally throw in his direction. Levi Wallace gets a bit of that, the business, so to speak, in that regard as well. And so those were some things that I did notice on those last drives, just in closing on the fourth quarter.
No, I mean, those are excellent things to point out too, because there has been a lot of criticism towards those guys for their inability to kind of stop things from happening that come their way. So it is important to, that's a weakness. That's a weak point for this Bills defense that needs to be addressed. And like we said, we got a couple days left, the trade deadline. It's a perfect target to trying to improve here for this Bills front office. But yeah, so the Bills 6-2 on the season. Very good start to this strange, peculiar year. They are, technically, I know it's not the postseason yet, and postseason rankings don't really matter at this point of the year, but they are technically the third seed in the AFC. They're technically the third seed in the AFC, which is, I mean, that's a good sign. It's something that, you know, it should be motivation to kind of keep going to be better. I think Kansas City and Pittsburgh are ahead of them. So certainly there's certainly room to improve, but it's a good sign, you know, regardless at, you know, where they're at so far this year. I don't have too much to add. I know, like, just Seattle's a big opportunity. I may have said it last week, but I feel like these two teams are actually very similarly matched. And maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but the way I look at it is like this. While I do think the Bills offensive line is a little bit better than the Seahawks offensive line, it's a issue for both squads. Quarterback play, I feel like they're similar. Not that I'm putting Josh Allen at the tier of Russell Wilson by any means, but I think having a dependable quarterback, both teams have that going for them. Wide receivers, the Bills, you know, have three and sometimes four. Very dependable guys. And as far as the Seahawks go, I mean, it's mostly DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. There's other guys that contribute to the offense. They're built in that manner. Defensively, I think the Bills are starting to turn a corner, but if you would have asked me this 3-4 weeks ago, their defenses were very comparable and not as efficient as you would like them to be. The Seahawks very much removed from the Legion of Boom days. And, you know, the Bills right now currently climbing to that status of where they were last year, trying to get back on track in that regard. So I think this is going to be a very fun game. And honestly, I'm thinking shootout, perhaps. I think Josh Allen is going to have to be able to hang with Russell Wilson and, you know, that offense. And I think it can be done, but I'm not seeing a defensive low scoring game here. Honestly, I think it's going to be shootout back and forth between these two teams. But I will give the Bills the advantage because they are a little bit more of a complete team than Seattle, but it's not to discredit Seattle at all. They're pretty much one of the best teams in football right now.
Yeah, I thought one of the biggest moves that they made was that trade with the Jets that added Adams to the defense in Seattle.
Yeah.
That's not something that I look forward to facing. I think the thing that jumps to mind ahead of that matchup, and then I'd love to chat a bit and ask your thoughts about just in processing after this game, you know, Bills and Patriots, you know, where do we go from here between now and when we face one another again, what that could look like in the time between and what they'll bring to the field that day. But, you know, looking at the Seahawks, you're talking about the guy who's kind of running away with the MVP conversation, Russell Wilson, a guy who is throwing so well that the fans have started or let Russell Cook kind of
a phrase,
you know, campaign to just let him do what he does. And I will say this, if I had to guess, and it is tough to project, I would guess we're going to have a game with them similar. And I couldn't tell you how similar, but similar to the one we had with Kansas City. Not in terms of the outcome. I'm not going to dare try to predict that because, you know, Seattle is Seattle. So, you know, they can turn you on your heels, turn on a dime, take a game over and run away with it if you let them. So I'm not going to go that far with it, but I think about what Bean talked about, or I'm sorry, what McDermott talked about in the game against, or after the game against Kansas City, and how they approached that, which was, hey, let's take away aspects of their offense, you know, to force them to rely on certain things. And so they did a very, very effective job taking away a lot of the explosiveness, you know, in Kansas City's offense, and really limited them more than people might realize. And you can really see it all throughout the game. You know, they weren't just running away with it or, you know, taking over that game at all. And so the way that I remember McDermott describing it post game was, you know, you give up a little bit here, but in turn, you're still in the game at the end. You still have a shot at winning it at the end. And that's kind of how I see them playing, you know, this game coming up against the Seahawks, is defending that. I mean, if there was ever a time in 2020 for the Bills secondary to show up, this is the time when you're facing Russell Wilson and he likes to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
It's probably a really good time. I mean, it's not like Kansas City was bad in that regard. It's just that we restricted and limited their options. So if we could do that with Seattle, we have a very real chance at winning that game. And it's just a matter of execution and not making mistakes and not beating ourselves. So is it possible? Yeah, absolutely. Sure. We could do it. We have a chance against the Chiefs. And so it remains to be seen how that game will go, but yeah, sure. We have a chance.
Yeah. It's going to be competitive. I mean, I think this could be like that statement victory for the Bills that we're looking for against Tennessee and looking for against Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. If they can top this one off, you know, I think the confidence is back. You know, Seattle's just as much of a Super Bowl, you know, they're like we said, they're one of the best teams in the NFC. They're a definite Super Bowl contender. You know, there's a few great teams over on the NFC side of things, but I think, you know, spiritually, this a win against a team, and it's very possible. It's certainly very possible. Win against this team would definitely bring some confidence, bring some aspirations, I guess, for the Bills is being talked about. I mean, I know talk isn't everything, but being back in this discussion of the Super Bowl bubble, which a lot of people like to refer to, and you know, see how Josh Allen plays. Maybe he can get himself back into the MVP conversation. I haven't heard a whole lot about that over the last 4 weeks, understandably so. But there's a lot to prove. There's a lot to be proven here. You're only going to get, unless you somehow find him in the, you know, if you find him in the Super Bowl, you're only going to get one shot at the Seattle team. So you got to make a count. And I think they can go toe to toe with them. And that's not just like a bias. Like, hey, I talk about the Bills, they could do it. No, as a non-biased, impartial viewer of professional football, viewer of NFL content, I truly do. I believe the Bills can contend with these guys, with the Seattle team. So it's going to be good. Must-see television.
I think looking at the Seahawks' schedule so far, I mean, they've been dominant, but the Cardinals still beat them. You know, I have them as a Super Bowl favorite right now, and
yeah,
they're probably the toughest team arguably that we face the remainder of the schedule. That's not to make light of the situation. We do have a stretch coming up where we face the Seahawks, Cardinals, Chargers, 49ers, and Steelers. And each one of those games is going to take hard work to win. You know, I was interested to see how the passing game would start to attack New England with Gilmore out. It wasn't a dramatic difference, but it was enough of a difference. The other thing that I'm kind of wondering about moving forward, since we're going to be getting our tight ends back, And since that has been sort of a question, is like, hey, when's that position going to kind of become alive in our passing game, right? Like, you certainly look at some of the dominant teams around the league, they have one of those dominant tight ends. I actually really believe Dawson Knox has the potential to be that kind of guy. If he can not drop passes from, you know, like every once in a while he does drop a pass and it's a little tough. But he does have that like big play potential. We saw that flash a couple times last season. Drafting him took a lot of the, the relief, brought me a lot of relief and took a lot of the weight off my hope that they would draft like a big receiver like DK Metcalf. Although obviously, you know, we're seeing what he's doing for Seattle right now, which brings up another topic of conversation. How are we going to defend him? We have Trey White. Is Trey White going to be able to handle a big bodied guy like DK Metcalf that, you know, Russell Wilson's just been lighting the rookie up? You know, will Dawson Knox, his former teammate at Ole Miss, be able to provide us some insight in the watching tape, you know, in the prep room ahead of the game? Will we have any advantages there, you know, with Brian Daboll, you know, and his way of kind of approaching things like that and picking apart, you know, offensive stuff? Is there something he can lend to the defense that's going to help them deal with a big body receiver like that, that's looked pretty unstoppable, you know, so far for the Seahawks for the most part? And then also, like you said, and like we talked about, it'll be interesting to see if between now and that game, if Brandon Bean works some of his magic at the trade deadline and finds a way to make this team better, we're good. But he does have that ability where every once in a while, whether it's through the draft or through a trade, he just makes a really great move that improves our squad. So 2 weeks, two division foes, two Bills wins that seem to be gradually getting them back on their feet. And part of me does care less about how we get the win as much as that we do get the win. Yeah. But a much bigger part of me, you know, recognizes that, hey, it's still impossible to ignore where we need to be better, not beat ourselves, and to put the team in the best possible position in those close games, and not put ourselves in bad positions in the first place, like we were discussing earlier. So, you know, we saw a great play by Zimmer and Marlowe to seal the game. We saw Jerry Hughes do it last week. I had seen my dream scenario for the Bills going into the stretch against these big teams is to have a big enough lead where it's the other team trying to come back and score a couple times just to have a shot at winning. That's like the dream scenario, you know, for me with this team. I will say this too. The Bills are starting to work their way back on offense towards reaching that 30-plus point average they put up in those first four games. That's encouraging. That's a trend that I'm hoping will continue as Brown's back. Their guys are getting healthy. They got their tight ends back on the field, you know, finishing with 24 points today. You know, I think about those games that they had against the Rams and Raiders. We're going to need games like that against this next stretch of these contender teams that we talked about. And so that's what I'm thinking of going into those matchups.
No, for sure. Definitely a lot of optimism, everybody. And keep on believing. Keep on believing. There's a lot of fun stuff, a lot of good football left. And, I mean, we haven't even hit the best stretch of the season yet. So we're going into it now. So enjoy the ride. It could be bumpy. Could be a little bumpy, but it'll be fun regardless, as the Bills love to keep us on the edge of our seat, most certainly so. But that is a wrap for this episode. David, I want to thank you for joining me as always. And to the listeners, till next time, go Bills.
Go Bills.